Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, March 17th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Eddie Elliott. Eddie and his wife Lisa and granddaughter Larkin are members of Mount Brook Baptist, and we're so grateful, Eddie, that you are going to read for us today. Eddie is a member of lots of committees at Mount Brook Baptist, and he's next in line to be the deacon chair. He also is one of the leaders in the Holy Smokes ministry, and we'll talk about that some at the end of his reading. Thank you, Eddie, for joining the podcast.
Good morning. Thank you, Mary. It's a pleasure to be here. The reading for this morning comes from Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 9, the bronze serpent. From Mount Or, they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way, and the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there's no food and no water. And we loathe this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many of the people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if the serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live.
Thank you so much, Eddie, for joining the podcast and for reading this interesting passage. Before we get into some biographical interview, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about this passage. So as you read it, what were you thinking? What came to mind?
You know, as we got into the near the end where it talks about lifting the serpent up on the pole, and anyone who looks at the serpent who had been bitten and would look at the serpent would live. I mean, I think it does remind me of Christ being lifted up on the cross, and those who turn to him and have faith in him that his death is for our sins will live too, in the sense of having eternal life.
Yes. So when the people sinned, the snake bit them. And well, they were grumbling against the Lord. They weren't believing in him. And so they said, "Pray to the Lord and give us a way out." And basically Moses makes the snake according to the Lord's word, and they had to lift up their eyes to it, and they were healed from the snake bites. And so Eddie and I were talking about several references in the book of John that actually talk about the Son of Man being lifted up. Say more about that, Eddie.
Yeah, what that reminds me of, you know, the Son of Man is a reference to Daniel's vision, where he sees a Son of Man with God, Ancient of Days, and he's given power over all, dominion over all. And it's really a way for Christ to refer to both his fully divine capacity and his fully human capacity. So his being lifted up on the cross as the Son of Man to die for our sins is what comes to my mind when we talk about Moses lifting up the snake, the serpent on the stick, for others to turn to that and be, in a way, healed of their snake bite.
That is awesome. Thank you for kind of chatting with me about that story on the fly. In fact, Eddie was just walking down the hallway and I was like, "Hey, will you record with me?" But I knew that Eddie could do it because Eddie is always in God's Word, because he is teaching the Word each week. Tell me a little bit about your class and how you got into teaching.
Well, it's the friendship class, and it's mainly men and women age 70 and above. And I've been teaching it for several years, and I got into it because I can't remember who was the teacher before me, but there was a opening, and I did a devotional at one of the deacons' meetings, and after that, Wayne asked me if I'd be interested in starting to do that, and I have ever since, and it's a real pleasure.
Tell me about your process as you're preparing to teach. Do you do something every day, or how does a lesson come together?
Yeah, I'd probably overkill it, but I do. I'd spend a couple hours, hour and a half to 2 hours, generally each morning, going through the study materials that come with that, and then I've got some other commentaries that I look at for the particular passage, and then boil that down to what I think is interesting. And I'm not very good at a question and answer sort of lesson, so it's more a matter of me talking for 20 or 30 minutes and then discussion after that.
Wonderful. Speaking of discussion, I know that your profession is to be an attorney. So do you think that helps you as you prepare for your Sunday school lessons?
I think it does. I think it's, I've done it for 30 or 40 years, recently retired, but a large part of that is preparing not really a lesson, but preparing an organized presentation to a group of people. So there was some interplay in between the two, I think.
So you have officially retired then?
Yes, I have officially, although it depends on day to day. They still ask me to do some things. So some days are more retired than others.
Can't let you go. Well, in your retirement or semi-retirement, what are some of the things that you have started to do or have found interesting?
Well, as I said, I spend a couple hours in the morning on the Sunday school lesson. Then I like to go exercise. And then once a week, I've now started a two-hour class at Beeson. I think it's called their Lay Academy, where we're studying the mission trips of Paul. So I try to fill in with things like that.
That's so wonderful. Okay, I want to talk to you a little bit about the Holy Smokes, because anytime I'm doing the announcements on Sunday morning and I say Holy Smokes, everyone just smiles. And I have to give a little context. I think everybody's kind of figuring out what it is. But tell us what the Holy Smokes is and what you do.
Well, it's a group of men from the church, and it was really started by, the idea was Jack Brown. It came from him, and it kind of grew from there. And what we do is it's a group of guys who like to cook barbecue and who don't mind and actually sort of like staying up all night to do it if we need to. And we've done it a couple of times for lunches at the church. And we've also prepared turkeys for church members to sell to church members, and barbecue for specific holidays such as Labor Day or Independence Day, things of that nature, where we perform a service for the members of the church, provide them with something they would otherwise need, and then we can use the money for various worthy charitable organizations or missions of the church, things like that.
Now, you guys have some T-shirts that are for sale. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we do. It was great. Our last event was we participated in the chili cook-off for the Exceptional Foundation, and in connection with that, Katie Johnson prepared a banner that we could use, and then she also prepared some T-shirts, which are really, they're really cute. They're really cool. They have a pig on the back with a halo, and they're here for sale. If anyone would be interested, it's $20 a piece. Talk to Katie or maybe talk to Debbie. And all those proceeds will be used for the same functions for the Holy Smokes. And also in the past, we've had to rent a big smoker, and we're hopeful that eventually we might be able to buy our own to save that cost.
How'd you get into cooking meat and grilling, things like that?
I just kind of fell into it. I just sort of started doing smoking meat at home and buying a smoker and doing more of it. And then it was just a random conversation between Jack and I.
Yes, and then you guys got other people on board, like Sam Hunt, who loves to cook, William Lynch, Jansen Voss, Kelly Hatley, and you guys do such a wonderful service for the church. In fact, in May, we're going to have another family barbecue to celebrate the fellowship, and you guys will be providing the meat for that meal as well. Eddie, in this season of life, or as you're teaching Sunday school, is there something that the Lord has brought to your mind recently that you might share with us?
Yeah, there was one. I'm sure many people knew John Lee Taylor, and he was a member of the Friendship class and was such an encouragement to me and so helpful as I began learning to teach. And then he really was a second teacher in all my classes and always had something important to add. And I know he was very helpful and encouraging to everyone, and he recently passed away. And I was drawn to this passage in John and actually read it in our class, which I'll read now, if you'll allow me.
Yeah.
It's John 14. We'll recognize it, but it's really a comforting passage for all going through difficult times or losing loved ones, where Christ said this, starting with verse 1, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my house, in my Father's house, are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." So what my thought was from reading that was really it provides such comfort to us who miss loved ones, who are Christians, who have gone on, just to know that our worldly feelings of loss are really not the end. That the end answer is that they are being taken care of, and eventually we will be there also with them.
Amen. You mentioned exercising, Eddie. What is your favorite kind of exerciser over the years? Has that changed?
Well, I mean, it has changed over the years as my body has told me there are things I can no longer do. But I was a swimmer in high school, and so after that, I would run a lot. And then when things started hurting too much running, I started riding a bike. So that's my current method of exercise, and it's just something I've always done. So it feels uncomfortable when I don't do it.
So do you ride on the road or do you ride in the studio?
No, I ride in the gym, and like just a stationary bike in the gym.
Okay. So. And do you do that in a class?
No, that's too hard. I just ride for a certain period of time and listen to some music and watch the TV and break a sweat.
Well, I know that you love to cook. Are there certain foods that you enjoy most?
You know, as far as from a cooking standpoint, I don't do brisket very often. We like to smoke brisket. The unusual thing that really turns out good on smoker is meatloaf.
Really?
It is the best meatloaf you've ever had.
How long do you have to cook the meatloaf?
It only takes, you know, it's more preparation than cooking, but it takes about, as I seem to recall, it takes probably a couple hours all total once you take into preparing the meat and putting it in the little, it's sort of small casserole size pieces of meatloaf, and it's really good.
So if listeners wanted to
exactly.
get your recipe,
we could offer that as a Holy Smokes menu. We could, yes.
Wonderful. And if you want to see a picture of the t-shirt, look on Instagram today, and Eddie will be holding up one of our t-shirts. Thank you, Eddie, for joining the podcast. Would you end our time together with prayer?
Sure. My pleasure. Thank you for asking me. Heavenly Father, we're always thankful to you for your word and what it means to us. We're thankful to you. We're thankful to you for your gift of Christ and for what he did for us on the cross and for how the entire book of the Bible points to him. All this in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.